Hey Jason, it's Sean from Gaming NBS. I just wanted to say thanks, man. Yeah, for the compliment as far as helping you out with getting OSR and friends off the ground. Anyways, yeah, interesting topic. I wouldn't say we cover things all that well. That's not in the, you know, that's in the fine print. We don't cover everything well. That's kind of our shtick, man, in case you didn't know. It drums up conversation such as this one. So if we were always right and everybody agreed with us and we covered everything to the T, well, how fun would that be, man? Probably not very fun at all. Anyways, keep up the good work. Look forward to hearing more from OSR and Screed.
Hello, Screeders. Well, it hasn't been a month later, but I have some excuses of why I haven't put any episodes out. Of course, they're only excuses, and they're really only as valuable as the breath that was expelled at the time I made them. I feel like my car is noisier now. I got new tires, and they're awesome tires, but they're a little louder in the road as well. Hope it's not too bad. If it is, let me know. We'll see what we can do to change that or fix the situation. If anything, maybe it helps. I don't know. What I do know is I'm not going to talk about what kind of GM are you. So I'm going to hold off on all those calls that people sent concerning what kind of GM you are. I'll try and answer any questions and play anything previous to last episode. I have not yet put all my notes and thoughts together and to try and figure out the best way to answer that GM, the questions that people asked, because the examples I gave, like anything, there's always going to be exclusions. And I never meant to intimate that Carl or Joe Richter fudged dice. That's not at all what I intended. And so I have to choose my words more carefully and come up with a better way of explaining what the player GM is versus the GM's GM on the spectrum. And then my friendlies will get that taken care of. Until then, I have a couple other things I want to talk about. Like, today is September 8th, 2023. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
Hello, Hobbs. This is Anthony calling in from the road. Casting shadows as the sunset is setting behind me, and we're racing out of it as if we had somewhere better to be, which I do, which is nice. I'm calling in about the questions raised in your last episode, at least at the time of this recording, about IP. I hope it's not too late for that. In my groups, I guess it's evolved over time to really want to play licensed games, licensed IPs, just with people who are already deeply familiar with that setting and want to play in it. And it becomes kind of, not exactly a palate cleanser, but it's more relaxing. I don't have to teach anybody about the setting or anything like that. We all just already know, and we can make really good decisions about the characters that we want to play and how they connect together and that kind of stuff. And so a lot of the work, you know, a lot of the procedures that can take place when starting a new game can just be stepped around because we don't have to learn any of the setting. We just have to make decisions about the setting. Like if we're playing Star Trek, we would make a quick decision about what era we wanted to play in, like original series or next generation or you know, the movie generation or whatever, right? And we would have a conversation maybe if we did or did not want to play Bridge Crew. Just simple stuff, and already informed by our existing experience. And then the next step I find that is helpful is to flip things on their head. And we imagine everything from the point of view that the TV shows or the movies or the books or whatever the license is, that is no longer canonical. What happens in play at our table, that's canon. That's what really happened. That's what's important. Everything else is rumor or propaganda or exaggeration or whatever. Maybe it happened. Maybe it didn't. Maybe the characters are real. Maybe they aren't. You know. And if it makes sense for, like, if we're playing Star Wars and it makes sense for our group to run across the Millennium Falcon and Luke and Leia and Han, well, then they will. And I will then take steps to make sure that the characterization I give of those, you know, franchise IP characters matches our group's perception of those characters, so that they don't seem out of character and they don't seem like caricature. So I want to present the setting as we see it, minimizing the elements in it that make us uncomfortable or that we don't like, never liked, or have grown out of liking, you know, some childish aspect. We want to emphasize the humor or de-emphasize the humor. We want to emphasize the puppet characters or de-emphasize the puppet characters, or, you know, that kind of stuff. We can very quickly make these decisions, set the tone, and then just play without worrying about having to follow someone else's canon. So that, in a slightly larger nutshell than I intended, slightly longer nutshell than I intended, is how we handle IP around here. And there's another topic that you raised in the show that I want to discuss, but I'll do that at another point with another call. So anyway, take care.
Hey, Jason, the other Jason. So I'll have numerous calls to your What Kind of GM Are You podcast, but the first one is going to be the three C's: continuity, connectivity, and consistency. I think the continuity part is more important if all your games are in the same world. Like if every game you run is in Kalmata, then that continuity is really important. I know in Carl's case, he runs a ton of different games and a ton of different settings, and sometimes multiple games in the same setting. For example, on Wednesday night, he runs Pathfinder 2. One Wednesday, he runs one campaign. The other Wednesday, he runs a different campaign, both with the same players. So I don't know if that continuity is that important in that case for him, because he's running different worlds sometimes. Now, he may be running the same world in his Hyperborea game. But I personally, when I do, even though I tend to run as a loose game master, I tend to like to create a problem without a solution and just have the players go at it and then bounce off what they do or react to what they do. But I still have my NPCs and factions and worlds set up ahead of time. So I just have the world react as it feels right to what the PCs do. So I don't think that continuity really is a problem if you have a solid idea what your world is and you drop that in that issue into your world. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think, because even in the real world, things aren't so interlocked that, you know, things go weird all the time and people's plans are thrown askew by something somebody else does all the time. So I don't think that it is that big of a deal if you are consistent with your NPCs and your factions and things like that. The connectivity, then that kind of bleeds into connectivity, the story, right? I know some people record their sessions so they can hear it afterwards and then make notes so they can keep that and connectivity and continuity, I think, kind of go together maybe. I'd be interested to hear more thoughts on, you know, whether we need two C's there. But as far as that connectivity from story to story to story, you know, session to session, I play in Joe Salvador's Reaver playtest. And in that, he improvises a lot because we'll throw him weird things that he never expects us to do, so he has to pull something out of his rear to keep the session going. And that's great, but he takes good notes and he weaves it all into the story and he puts a lot of work into that. And I think if you're doing improv, it can make that connectivity. Well, it depends on how you run your world, though. If your world is pretty open-ended and the factions have their goals and they're working towards those goals, again, you know, monkey wrenches get thrown in all the time. So I don't agree with you that it's a problem. Unless you have you've scripted out an end goal and you've scripted out. If you scripted out that faction A in a month is going to do this no matter what, then yeah, it's an issue. But if you've written out faction A's goal is to do this, but it doesn't happen, then I don't think it's an issue. So I think it depends how much you write your story ahead of time. I don't write my stories ahead of my players, so it's not a problem. If you plan what's going to happen in your world ahead of time, not counting the players' actions, then I think it's an issue. But that's not the kind of game I like to play in, so I don't think about that. But that's other people like that, so maybe, you know, I'm just coming at that with a pretty narrow focus. As far as consistency of rules, I think that depends on your rule set more than anything. If you're playing one of these loosey-goosey games where there's four pages of rules, then yeah, that might be an issue. If you're playing AD&D and you're running it where you're flipping and turning through the book to use the rules the same way every time, the way you interpret it, rules as written, then I don't think it's an issue. If you're running Pathfinder 1E, then the rules are pretty darn explicit and cover pretty much every situation you can ever imagine or not imagine. So I don't think you're making rules up on the fly. So I think the consistency really depends on the rule set. Okay, that's enough for this message.
Hobbs, it's Anthony again, the Casting Shadows podcast. Calling in this time about preparation and improvisation, or what I like to call preparation for improvisation, because I find that these days that's where I sit. On the spectrum between preparing for everything and preparing for nothing, I like to prepare myself to feel comfortable and informed in my improvisation. And the way that I reach that is to remember what I think about role-playing games, and that I think that in play, what we end up doing with each other, no matter what that activity is, we are either in some way acting, reacting, or interacting. And when I think about preparation, I can prepare for what the characters in my control, let's say, the characters for which I'm responsible, is how I prefer to think about it. I can prepare what their actions are to a point. Now, sooner or later, I know I'm going to meet some kind of resistance, and I can continue to prepare for some of those resistances, like I can roll dice to see if they're successful doing something that's not going to have any particular opposition, or I can take the average, assuming a certain amount of success on a relatively standard attempt to do something well within their capacity to do, that kind of stuff. And I can do that in a variety of systems. I'm comfortable enough with the systems that I like to play with regularly that it's, you know, par for the course to be able to assess what the characters should not be able to do without a roll. And I'm more than willing to do things like roll to see if they can be successful if it's necessary. But at a certain point, you know that they're going to run afoul of some other opposition, which is at the point where you can no longer really plan for their actions unless you decide to extend out your planning to take care of, you know, what would happen if there were no opposition, that kind of thing, right? Plan for the PCs not being there is one way it gets described. And sometimes I'll do that, but most of the time I like to just get a sense of what it is that they're trying to do now in a scenario-sized or a session-sized bite of time. You know, if I know we're going to play for 3 or 4 hours and I have an idea of how much I should bother to think about for what the NPCs are going to try and do. And everything grows out of that. There are going to be reactions to what they try, and there's going to be interactions over what they have tried. And those will have spin-off effects, and those will have spin-off effects. And so a very small amount of preparation, rooted completely in character and given context by the setting, becomes what it is that we play. So I tend to feel, and then this is just a preference, I tend to feel more constrained and uncomfortable and uncertain if I prepare a lot of stuff. And I play games where I don't have to do a lot of homework to create things that would be in encounters, or to create large and detailed oppositional characters. A lot of those things in the games that I play have archetypes, or they have a set number of point spends, or they have specific arrays of points, so that you can just do that on the fly when you're familiar with them. You know what traits they have to have according to the system. Like, you're not designing them or putting numerical values in traits on a whim. You are assigning them according to what that character is in that setting. And so it's, you know, it stays fair. It's not necessary to do it as preparation. It's a part of improvisation. If it's never needed, then you never had to use any time for it. And if it is needed, then you still can just react with it. So I think that that preference that I have informs where I fall on the spectrum between preparation and improvisation. And so what I like to do is understand the characters inside and out, and understand the culture of whatever game setting it is that we're playing within, so that I can act, react, and interact believably and consistently and coherently, and that what I do makes sense. And so that gives the players the opportunity to play in a sensible fashion. Anyway, that's enough ramble, I think. And hopefully it contributes something to the conversation. Anyway, take care.
All right, Screeters. I have a confession. Today is not September 8th, 2023. Today is like September 29th, 2023. I have been extremely lax, but I've already given the breath for the excuses, so I am not going to hold you back with that. It's almost unconscionable that I haven't put out a random screed in 2 months. Holy Toledo. Anyway, I put in a few messages there, one from Sean P. Kelly of Gaming and BS fame, and now How to RPG and Saturdays with Sean. So if you've never heard of Gaming and BS, do yourself a favor. Go back and listen to some of their episodes. Maybe all of them. I don't know. But at least if you're around Saturday mornings, click into How to RPG and Saturday Morning Chats with Sean. And his chat room can be pretty raucous, pretty fun. He's a total goofball. And yeah, check that out. Next up are Anthony from Casting Shadows, and he has Runes Linger is, Jesus Christ, YouTube and the like, and Jason Connerly of Nerds RPG Variety Cast. As far as their call-ins go, I mean, man, they should have probably just done their own episodes on what they were talking about, but I think I'm going to mostly just leave them as they are, as great information for the screeders out there. And the only thing I think I'll comment on is situations for shenanigans. I've always come up with that term that I believe started with Dr. Trey, part of the Hydra Cooperative. And yeah, I think that's how I pretty much always run my games. I do have to say that I have some preparation, mostly because I run the games online. But even when I don't, I think I do like to jot a lot of notes. And the most of my preparation, like Anthony's, comes at the beginning of the campaign, where I'm contemplating what I'm going to do and setting up that world for what it is, and then just allow, you know, it to exist and react for repercussions of the character's actions, whatever they may be. Anyways, on with the show.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van, don't turn off that sat nav, man. Random screed, don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
Mr. Hobbs, Roy here. When you do a podcast and immediately forget what you podcasted about, that's called Vancian podcasting.
Status report. Pretty much the remainder of this episode is going to be me talking about my life and the games that I'm in and recent events. So if you're not interested in that, I think I'll do the gaming stuff first so my gaming peeps can enjoy that, and then I'll do life events, family, mental health stuff afterwards. So yeah. First up, Tales of Argosa. Tales of Argosa, the system, is by Pickpocket Press, the author being Steve Grodzicki. This is really second edition of Low Fantasy Gaming Deluxe, and listeners here probably know I love that game, and so far I think that it is an improvement. I think we've had three sessions, and you can find them on my YouTube. I got Stu Clark and Robert Nemeth, also known as Nolabert.
In half a mile, take exit 175.
And Maltworm. Whoa, what's this dude doing? Stay in your lane, bro. Stay in your lane. Anyway, I got those two playing, and it's on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. when it can happen. I am using Adventure from Randy M.
And, take exit 175, then keep left at the fork.
The look is definitely different than I'm used to, and I'm not sure it's better, but it is different, which is cool, right? It's cool.
Keep left at the fork.
All right, next up we have Hawkum Gallium, and I don't even know if I pronounced that correctly. It is a new Hyperborea game that I'm playing.
At the traffic circle, take the second exit onto Wisconsin 11 West, Wisconsin Trunk Highway 11 West.
A new game
continue on I-39 North for 3 miles. Exit the traffic circle onto Wisconsin 11 West.
Jesus, this is so confusing. A new game, it's Hyperborea 3rd Edition, and it's being run by none other than TJ Drennan. And we got some famous
600 feet at the traffic circle. Take the first exit onto East Racine
quotes.
Street.
Famous with quotes, guys. Famous players being Joey Richter from Hindsightless, Joey Riptured, obviously TJ Drennan, Cody Mazza, Jason Connerly, Eric Swanson. I don't know if that's it. Oh, and another Aaron being TJ's son, I believe. And it is not set in Hyperborea. So it'll be the first time playing Hyperborea, but it's not set in the actual Hyperborea setting from Northwind Adventures or Jeff Talanian. It's actually pretty darn crazy, and it might be able to have its own episode just to talk about what's going on. And you know, maybe he wants to publish it. Maybe I shouldn't do too much. Last night he asked if I'd put out a random screed lately because he hadn't seen one, but he hadn't refreshed. And yeah, after he listens to this, maybe he'll call in and let us know if he wants my take on what's going on. Our first session was last night. There were a few lead-ins to some different things. character generation and hangouts talking about the setting for the past 3 weeks, and two of those was because I was supposed to run something and then couldn't. Maybe all three. Hell, I don't know, people. But yeah, those are the two new things that I think that I've been involved in. I really feel like my Thursday night OSE game through the Valley of the Manticore is slowly dying. No one's willing to accept it, but that's definitely kind of the feeling I have for it, and that certainly makes me sad. All right, next up, what in the heck have I been doing in life? All right, the biggest change is I'm now my mother's power of attorney, and her late onset Alzheimer's has gotten really bad. Almost every day I talk to her, and she doesn't quite remember it. Yesterday she asked me if I was if I'd seen my dad lately, if he'd been home, who my dad passed away 13 years ago. And I'm finding that a lot of people have had interactions like this with their own loved ones and can relate. But I thought I would talk about it a little bit. Maybe, like I always say, if it can help one person, then it's worth it. She went into the hospital a few weeks ago now, just to basically for them to clean up a wound that had been on her arm that I believe her dog did, but there's no guarantee of that.
In 600 feet, turn right onto South Franklin Street.
And seeing how far she had progressed.
Turn right onto South Franklin Street, then your destination will be on the right.
She had progressed. I really realized that she could not be home alone. And yeah, that's super, super sad. But now I never quite know what's going on, when, and if I got to go visit her, if I don't. I'm constantly trying to figure out what her finances are and get her into a long-term nursing care. It really sucks, guys, and it's really affected my ability to game. Mixing that up with my personal business structure has really flattened me. I am excited. We're headed to the Smoky Mountains, and I'm going to meet up with old Thaddeus Moore, and he's going to make Heidi and I some dinner, which is cool, and then we're going to spend a few days in Tennessee. So anyone want to mention anything they know about that or adventures that they've had in the Smoky Mountains? I'm really hoping for the best there. And then after
that, your destination is on the right.
We got Game Hole Con coming, y'all, in mid-October, right around my birthday. I'm definitely going to run some Weed Dealing Lead and likely some Hyperborea. Not Hyperborea. Scratch that. Maybe some Hyperborea. But my intention is, obviously, some OSC with Kalmata. And then I'm really hoping to also run some Tales of Argosa. I haven't done anything. I didn't put out anything on the grid. So if you're bored, stop by, say hi at the booth. I'm also going to have Travis Miller there doing interviews. So I thought I would share my booth with him this year. Boy, is he in for a surprise. Hey, boys, girls, stay alive. It's better to fade out than to burn away. Hit it, mother effing TJ.
It's a beautiful day in the game, oh, a beautiful day for my gamers. Would you be one? Could you be one? Out of that thunder, but don't despair. This colony's breeding great robbers. Would you be one? Could you be one? If an 80% mortality rate works for you, for a few bucks a month you can sign up and have the hogs kill you. So let's make the most of another Sunday. Brew up some coffee and play it my way. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my gamers? Won't you be? Won't you please? Please won't you be my gamers?